Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Passage of scripture that you probably read many times, heard it preached on many times. I would like to say all of us are familiar with that old song, that old hymn, "Be not discouraged, whatever be made, God will take care of you." Now, folks, God will take care. And although we sing it, although we preach it, and have heard about it all these years, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will take care of me. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow ye vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it out in all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for its truth, Lord, for its power as it speaks to our heart. Open up our hearts that we may listen, that we may see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. You know, God never fails. There was a gentleman years ago named George Mueller. He took care of the orphans, and I heard a story about him one day, and that they were about to eat breakfast, but they didn't have anything. All the bowls were lined up on the table. All the orphanages were there. And he says, "Children, let us pray." So he began to pray. There was a knock on the door. As he prayed, and when he finished praying, he went to the door, and there was a huge party at the Queen's residence, and they had food left over, so she sent it to the orphanage. God is enough, George Mueller said. He's always enough. No matter what we do, He is enough. Now, I stand before you today, and without hesitation, I will say that God has never failed me. He is enough. He's enough in my life. He's always there. We're never alone with Jesus Christ. I believe this is a picture here. We've preached it many ways in different times, about the oil and the Holy Spirit. But this morning, let us consider three truths that we find here that God says, and we will have revival in our lives. I believe with all my heart we can have revivals by these three truths. I believe God wants to do it again. He's in the miracle, wonder-making business. And I pray, Lord, revive us again. We're going to have a revival here. A revival is not just a series of meetings. April the 28th through May the 1st. Brother Bob Pittman will be here. You've heard him many times. He comes about every other year. One of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. And I just love this fellow. He's got a gentle spirit about him. He just gets up here and shucks the corn to us, don't he? I mean to tell you, and Brother Keith is Keith Wilkerson, right? He will be here to lead the music. Man, I tell you what, we'll have a great time. But let me tell you something. These men cannot bring revival to our church. It has to be God through you. Revive us, O Lord. Again, I don't know about you, but I need revival every day. I think every day that I have to go to the Lord and just confess and praise Him and say, Lord, bring revival in our church and in our heart. So this morning, I want you to notice something. This woman faced a great dilemma in her life. Look at what she says. Here's a woman with a severe problem in her life. Her husband is dead. She's had her husband die. Now, back then, if your husband died, the woman was left. All she had was her children, and she owes a great debt, and she says, the creditor is coming to take my children away, my sons. They would have made a living for her in her house, but now she has no one to help her, no one to support her. It's a great need in their life. I don't know about you. Have you ever faced a great dilemma in your life? I tell you what, we face them every day, don't we? They got these new cars. I tell you, I heard about this the other day. This new car, you get in and it'll drive for you. Any of y'all got one of those? Well, I heard about a guy that got one of those, and he was got in it, and it took off down the road. It was going real good. Light comes on and says, this car has been recalled. The brakes do fail. That's a dilemma, folks. Whether you know it or not, I don't trust these things. Like the guy got on the plane, you know, they're flying across the ocean in his plane and automated, took off perfect, everything. Got up, and the pilot comes on his loudspeaker and says, this plane is fully automated, computer, nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. Man, we face things like that every day. We think we got everything by the tail. It's going good in our life. And then something goes wrong. Amen? Something always seems to go wrong. And she is dealing with not only the death of her husband, she's dealing with a great debt in her life, and she's facing what each one of us face all the time. She's facing a despair in her heart. Oh man, let me tell you something. She's bound to be sad. She's bound to be hurting. Think about it. Some of you've lost a husband. Some of you've lost a wife. Some of you've lost your children. There seems to be nothing but hurt there. Amen? And you face the dilemma. How am I going to go on in life? Not only that, she says her husband was a believer. He was a good man. He was feared the Lord. He was a godly man. And yet, so many times this happens, they're taken away. And no doubt, she's asked the question that we ask ourselves many times, why, Lord? Why did you take my husband? Why did you take my child when we have served you faithfully? Lord, why? We don't know that answer, and we'll never know that answer. And I feel like one day when we get to heaven, we won't even ask that answer, because God takes away all our pains. I believe He takes away all our questions. And let me tell you, like I told you to start with, He is enough. God is enough. A man who loved God and feared God is now dead in this woman's life. And maybe this morning you're here and you're facing something similar in your life. Maybe it's not the death of a husband, but maybe or a wife or a child, but maybe it's a disease in your life. The doctors told you, and many of our people face this, they have cancer. Oh, we hate that word, don't we? But it's been a part of our lives for many years now. We face these kind of dilemmas in our life. Or maybe, you know, we face, we're growing old and our mind is slipping. We call it dementia. And I know my mother's that way, and I know several others that got fathers and mothers that are in homes now. And, you know, it hurts. I went down the other day and I looked at mother, and she knew me for a little while there. And then, you know, that blank stare comes on her face. And I know she's gone. She don't know you anymore. Oh, it's sad. You see, I called the other day, I said, you're living but dead. You don't know anyone. And she said many times, you know, if the Lord would just take me on. But you know, that's God, and God is enough, folks. He's enough. But she has a dilemma like all of us in our life, a great dilemma. But then also there's a debt for her family. The creditor is coming to take her only two sons to be now slaves. Back then, they would work them and they'd pay off the debt. And they had to go and pay off this debt that she owed. Her sons would be that collateral for the debt till it was paid. Now, folks, we're talking about more than just a bad day, aren't we? It's left her all, it would leave her all alone. Her husband's gone, her sons will be gone, and she faced that dilemma and she faced that debt, and despair has set into her life. So she cries out in this desire to God, to the only one that can help her, God's man. You see, in spite of all this turmoil in her life, and in spite of all the heartache in our life, folks, the key to our lives to keep on living is God. God is always the key to our life. If we want to have revival, it must come from God, and it must be God's people. You see, we're the ones that are alive in Christ. A lost person's dead until the Spirit of God wakes that life up inside and they come to confess Christ as Lord, and He seals them with His Spirit and gives them that Spirit of God in their life. They're dead. We are alive in Christ, new creatures in Christ. We're the ones that God will use to bring revival. No wonder the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Listen, folks, that is a desire in my heart for God to wake us up, not only as a church, but as a town and as a country. You see, we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I mentioned in our classes, I hope we'll go back. Used to, when I grew up, we had week-long prayer meetings. We call them cottage prayer meetings. And boy, I tell you what, the people of the church got together, and we would pray, and we would stay there and pray till everyone had prayed for revival. That went on a whole week. I've asked our classes, we get together at least 2 weeks before our revival as classes in a church, and just meet at someone's house. You don't have to eat. You don't have to do none of that. Just meet and pray that God would wake us up. You see, that's what we need in our churches today. That's what we need in our country today. That's what we need for God to call and wake us up. She cried out to Elisha. Even though she faced the death of her husband and the debt, she knew where to turn. You see, let me assure you, revival won't come through our educational institutions. Revival won't come through our Congress or the White House. If it's going to come, it comes through God's house, through God's people. That is the secret of revival. His people, His church, need to come alive again. Man, I find it hard to believe in a nation that God has blessed so much. So far, we have slipped away from God. We complain about having to go to church. We complain about the heat. We complain about the cold. Man, this woman has a dilemma on her hands. We're just uncomfortable. And when God's people see the desperation of their need in their life and call upon God, I believe He'll be faithful to do what He's promised to do, send revival. It's not too late. You see, today many are crying, God, send a revival. And heaven, I believe, cries back, is your eye fixed on me? And we would have to say, no. Our eyes are not fixed on Jesus Christ anymore. You see, we need to fix our eyes upon Him. We're crying for revival. We're crying for God to do something. And He says, I've already done it. The ball's in your court now. The ball is in your court. Revival is only found in God through His people. He is enough. I wonder how many more are going to have to die before we get desperate enough to cry out to God. Are you willing to forsake all? Are you willing to keep yourself only for Him and only in Him? You know, to the hungry, I believe God will satisfy. To the thirsty, He says, I will give springs of living water. And to the longing, God will be enough. Folks, God is always there with you no matter where you go, no matter what you do. You can be all alone 20 miles away, and God is right there by your side. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Now, look at the condition of the man of God. Elisha is there, and he puts the woman to a test. Have you ever thought about that? She's lost her husband. She's about to lose her sons. She's in debt. And this man of God says, what do you need, lady? What do you need? Reminds me of the man of God wanted to make a decision about the church that he was to go to. And he flipped the coin. He said, Lord, if it lands on heads, I'll go to that church. And if it don't, I'm going to go to the one I want. Oh, thank you, Lord. Some of y'all get that in a minute. You see, that's the way we do, isn't it? Lord, we want revival. And He says, do you really? And we try to manipulate God to fit our needs so that we won't have to do what He wants us to do. You see, the condition is God wants us to know what we have. This woman, what do you need? What do you have? And she said, nothing but a pot of oil. And if I understand it right, it was not a big pot of oil. It was just a little pot of oil that she used for maybe anointing. Just a pot of oil, Elisha. However, in this miracle of the oil, there is what she really needed right there. You see, many times the oil is represents the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And in the Bible, this oil she had right there in her own house, what she needed was right there. Little is much, I believe, when God is in it. Amen? That's all you have, just a little spark for revival, you see? Dad used to say, the Old Testament, he said, boys, if you let the fire go out, you got to get a spark going. Keep the wood on the fire. Now, the oil represents the spring of the Spirit, I believe, bubbling up inside of our lives. You see, God says, I sealed you with my Spirit. Now, if you want revival, what do you have? You've got God's Spirit right here in your heart. You see? Now, we need to let Him loose in our life. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, some people get excited and some people don't get excited when you talk about the Spirit come alive in your life. But folks, let me tell you something. We're not going to go overboard in a Baptist church. I'll guarantee you. I hope the Spirit gets loose a little bit. You know? Somebody said, well, what happens if they go, well, you know what? It's a whole lot getting people more excited than having to put a fire out. Let me tell you. You just can't get people excited too much. But we've got the Spirit of God in our life. All we need to do is talk to Him and let Him speak to us and let Him set the revival fires. Also, the Spirit is God's power. It's by the means in which we live and move and work for God. I think Paul realized God's power when he said, you know, I'm a debtor to God. I must get out and tell people about the gospel. I tell you what, when we get on fire for God, we're going to be telling people about Christ. I don't know how many people I saw this week. How many did you see that you told about Jesus Christ? Listen, if revival is going to start, it's going to begin right here with what we already have. It begins in you, and it begins in me with the presence of God and the person and power of God in our lives. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really want revival? What do you have? Well, preacher, all I've got is the Spirit. A little pot of oil. Revival must begin in our individual lives because that's where the Spirit of God is, folks. He's right here. If you have been born again, you're alive in Christ, well, what are you willing to let God do through your life? Do you really want it? Maybe you don't want it. You know, Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you want revival, how bad do you want it? Are you willing to come every night? Are you willing to come every Sunday? Are you willing to commit your life to a Bible study and prayer? Well, preacher, that takes some time. Yes, it does. Do you really want it? In this woman's great dilemma, she had a great desire. She wanted God. And she said, all I've got's a pot of oil. You know what she found in that? She found God's delight in her life. Notice, he says, go borrow vessels. Do you know what we are? We are God's vessels. Isn't that wonderful to know that we are God's vessels? But often we are already full of ourselves, aren't we? We're so full of ourselves sometimes we can't do anything for anybody else. We're so full of ourselves. The supremacy of God's provision. Folks, God is now going to do what only God can do. He's going to go above and beyond all her comprehension. All she's got's a little pot of oil. And God says, he's enough. You've got enough if you've got me. You see? I can see this woman now. She goes in, she shuts the door. She's there with her sons. She said, bring me a vessel. She takes that little pot of oil and she starts pouring. And she starts pouring. Now that big old vessel is one of these big vessels. And she is just continuing to pour and pour. And that vessel fills up. She stands in amazement, I'm sure. And she said, God set aside, bring another vessel. And she keeps just pouring. The Bible says the miracle of the oil just continues to pour until every pot is full. Isn't that just like our Lord? Isn't that just like God? Again, what we desire, he will give us if we're serious about it, folks. He gives us the desires of our heart. You know why? He desires his vessels to be clean. He desires his vessels to be holy. He desires his vessels to have faith in him and trust him. Have you ever just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you for what you can do? He won't disappoint you, folks. He will not disappoint you. He is God, and he is enough. And they continue to fill those pots till every pot is filled. I believe that's the way it is in the Christian life. You know, the sufficiency of God's provision in our life. He will fill us up. Oh, have you ever just had to rely on God? I never will forget when we went down there in Haiti. Well, that was a dark, dark place. I mean, dark spiritually, dark everything. They didn't have any lights out there where we were, and we were stuck in the mud, and I was in this old Isuzu. I guess that's what the thing was, Isuzu rodeo in it. Anyhow, just me and this Haitian guy, and I couldn't speak whatever he spoke, and he couldn't speak what I spoke. And they got us out of this mud hole, and he started up that mountain. And boy, we was going up that mountain, sliding sideways this way. And I was sitting back there holding that little precious heart, my heart. And boy, I was praying. You better believe I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know where we are down here. We're in the middle of nowhere, but I'm trusting you'll get me back home safely. Please. Get me home safely. When we got to the top of that mountain, it seemed like it was a mile away. And I looked back down below, and I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing but darkness. My guys weren't there no more. They were having to walk that mountain. I said, well, at least I rode it. But I don't know if that was a blessing or not. But in about 20 or 25 minutes, here come the guys. I saw the flashlights in the distance. And, oh, you know what? It was such a comfort to know that I was still alive and they were too. The next day when we looked at that mountain, folks, on that side right there, it was a drop off. Many cars had went over that thing. It was only God's grace that we stayed on that road. You know, I started to get out of the car that night. And that guy stopped me. I didn't know what he was saying, but I know he said, don't open that door. And if I'd opened that door and stepped out, it was a long fall. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. He is sufficient to supply and protect us all that we need. Are you relying on him? I never will forget when God called me to preach. You were talking about Samuel. I heard that voice. I was in an airplane flying to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Man, that's way up there. It was in wintertime, January about 19th. it was cold, it was minus, and I was sitting there looking out that window of that plane, and God was speaking to my heart. I was hearing him say, Booney, Booney. He knows my nickname, by the way. And I wasn't wanting to answer. I just sat there and stared. I wasn't going to answer him. I said, no, I ain't going to answer, because if I answer, he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. We landed, but he didn't quit calling. It was in a hotel room when it was freezing that he was calling. And my pastor said, Booney, what is God saying to you? And I said, oh, I want to know. And he said, whatever it is, you ain't going to find peace about it till you ask him. And he said something about like this, God is sufficient. No matter what he asks you, he will supply. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you were trying to say to me, but whatever it is, I'll do it. And did you know, from that moment I said, I'll do it, that weight lifted off my shoulders? Not a time again did I sit there and be quiet. You know, the rest is history, folks. I surrendered that night. I didn't know what I was going to do. Some of you'd say you still don't. But he's all that we need. He's all that we need. And when God moves in our midst, he will do what the evangelists can't do and the singers can't do. And that's exactly what we need most, what he can do. Is it possible today that God is speaking to someone out there? I believe it is. I've been praying about this all week. God, send revival. God, move. There's somebody lost that needs to come to Christ. You're saying, like someone said a while ago, you know, we have to clean up first, preacher. You don't. God wants you just like you are. You can't clean your life up enough. The mistakes that you made, they're past. He said, I'll forgive you. Just do what I ask you to do. He's enough. And when revival comes to our hearts, our hearts will be clean and sin will be confessed. Let me tell you something. If you got sin in your life, you're not going to have revival until you get it right with God. And if you got sin in your life, you need to just come down here to the altar and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. You know what he says? If we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Would you do that this morning? You want revival? This woman had a great dilemma. But oh, at the end of life, she had a great delight because she trusted God. Did you know what? If she had said, oh, you know, it's just a little pot of oil. You don't have to worry about a whole lot of vessels. It's not going to fill the first one. That's exactly what she'd have got. You only get what you prepare for. He said, borrow not a few vessels. So they borrowed the whole bunch, all they could. And it was enough. It was enough. She sold it, paid her debt, and lived on the rest. Folks, God is enough. He will send revival like you couldn't believe. Even if it's only in your heart, that's where we need revival. So would you come this morning if you really need to make a decision? Would you come? I don't know what God has been telling you or telling you, but listen to him. Don't listen to anybody else. Not the person beside you or nothing. Don't pay any attention to what anybody's doing. Please don't walk out this morning. The restaurants will still be open. You need not to hinder anybody from making the decision that God wants to make. And if you're thinking about getting up and walking out, maybe you need to walk down here and get your life right so that you can really have revival. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Lord, there's people here that need to make a decision today. And I don't know what those decisions are, but they do. Lord, let your Holy Spirit now move in our hearts and make that decision. In Jesus' name, amen.